Virgin. You're listening to Indy 101.5 FM. CIOI.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. And yeah, I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, as always. And thank you so much for listening tonight. I am hanging out with Alessandro Montelli. He's a Toronto-based... Alessandro is a Toronto-based alt-pop singer-songwriter, and you can find Alessandro on all socials as Alice Mont Music, that's A-L-E-S-S, Mont Music, and on all socials under Alessandro Montelli. So, hey.
Hey, sorry I interrupted you.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. No problem, no problem. I guess, like, just to kind of give a little introduction to who you are and what you do, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Well, I usually describe it as alternative pop, because I love to mix, you know, some of the pop influences that I have with more alternative punk rock influences that I had growing up. And yeah, so it's kind of like a mix of a lot of energy and good vibes, basically.
Yeah, totally. What kind of genres do you feel like you pull from the most?
Well, like I said, alternative rock, punk rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that. I also grew up with that type of music, so it's nice that I'm kind of getting back into it nowadays and releasing some stuff that relate to that type of music, you know.
Right, totally. Yeah. Who are your biggest musical influences?
Bands like 21 Pilots, Linkin Park, Sum 41, but also, as I said, like I also love pop music, so I really admire what Ed Sheeran does as a songwriter and pop artist. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mix of these type of artists, I guess.
Yeah, totally. What do you feel as though you take from every artist that you mentioned? Like, would you say you take songwriting style from one? Would you say you take, like, guitar work from another? Would you say you take, like, vocals from another? What would you say you take from each?
Well, definitely, I could tell When I perform live, some people obviously recognize that my voice has a lot of influences coming from the singer from Linkin Park, right. Chester Bennington, which I'm happy to hear because it was basically one of my favorite bands growing up, and I'm happy that people can kind of see that in my voice as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, then again, I work with my producer. He also grew up with punk rock, and we try to, you know, keep the electric guitars going, but also mix it with some more pop melodies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid? Sort of like the music that you grew up with, the music that was played in your house growing up. And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Yeah, for sure. Like growing up, I remember listening to, Avril Lavigne or, again, Sum 41. And it was funny enough, all these bands were, they grew up, they started from Toronto, I guess, And I was living in Italy, you know, growing up. I was born and raised there. And it's nice to see that, you know, I grew up with those type of artists. And I've been living in Canada, Toronto, for 5-6 years now. And when you get more into the music scene, you realize how everything is connected. And sometimes you get to even see or talk to these people in person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, growing up, I started listening to pop, and then a couple of friends in high school showed me some more happier stuff, and I started listening to, you know, to 30 Seconds to Mars, Silverstein, and, like literally rock and heavier rock, I guess. And I guess I never looked back, because I started playing rock music in high school, and I'm still doing it now. I love it.
Yeah, awesome. What was the first time that you heard a piece of music that really inspired you? Can you think of like one of those times where you listened to maybe a song or an album and it made you want to create music because of listening to that?
Yeah, I was listening to Damon Rice again the other day, which I know it's totally different from some of the band I mentioned before, but as a songwriter, he's one of my main inspiration, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to, you know, re-listen to a couple of these songs, Amy and The Blower's Daughter, and those ones really get me into the feel and wanted me to, you know, push myself to write some stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. What instruments do you play besides singing?
Well, I started with piano.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking piano lessons when I was 10 or so. And luckily I was able to, you know, transition to guitar, because nowadays, when I perform, especially most of the times actually, I perform with guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe the piano gave me all the basics for me to transition to other instruments. And, you know, I love playing drums as well. I don't play in any project bands. Maybe one day. I don't know. But, yeah, drums are definitely fun to play.
Mm-hmm. Totally, yeah.
But I usually write and sing with either guitar or piano, you know.
Yeah. Do you still play the piano?
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't play as much when I do live shows, but I was doing a gig in Toronto last week, I believe, downtown, and there was a piano there, so I started playing it, and a couple of people in the audience were surprised, and they said, yeah, you should definitely play more, incorporate that in your live events, live music.
Definitely, yeah. Why did you end up choosing the guitar over the piano as your main instrument?
Well, because when I started, you know, learning piano, it was mostly, you know, classic songs, and I was learning through the classics. And at some point, I was kind of tired of it, I guess I would say. And because I would start listening to more, you know, alternative music, I became close to the idea of playing a guitar. And I gotta say, I don't really play electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a couple, but I don't really play it live yet. I prefer, you know, to have my friend playing guitar, like the electric guitar.
Sure.
He's amazing at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always loved the guitar as well, so I started, you know, self-teaching myself. And eventually, I gotta say, it wasn't easy at the beginning, because I had a, you know, very cheap classic guitar, and I didn't like the sound of it, so I wasn't intrigued or anything. But after a couple of years, I got an acoustic, and I started, you know, learning chords and writing my own songs with it. And yeah, it took me, I guess, a few years, but I love that I'm able to, you know, perform with guitar and singing at the same time.
Yeah, totally. So you said you've always wanted to play the drums. Is there anything else you've always wanted to try?
You mean instrument wise?
Mm-hmm.
I love to be able to play the bass. Yeah. That's an instrument that I don't usually play around with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most people that can play guitar, they can transition and play bass as well. Me, I feel like it would take me some time. But yeah, that's definitely something that I would love to learn sometime.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So when did you start singing? When did you discover that you had talent vocally?
Yeah, well, if I have to be honest, it was probably middle school. I think I was 15. And I always remember this story because, it's nice to tell people. I was doing a school trip, right? And there was a song on the radio by this guy, Tiziano Ferro. He's a famous Italian pop artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he just released a new song, basically. And I was already singing it during the school trip. And all my friends kind of turned around and they were like, "Yo, Alessandro, how come you can, you know all the lyrics already, you can sing well, what's happening here?" And I was like, I don't even know, I guess I practiced it, I listened to it many times and I memorized it. So that was one of those events where I believe I started recognizing and getting recognized for what my singing voice was, and I started, singing more and trying to put myself out there more as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of the episodes, but yeah.
Did you study music or take professional lessons? I know you said you took piano lessons, I think.
Yeah.
Did you take vocal lessons? What did you do any of that?
Yeah, I took some vocal lessons as well, mostly in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work with a jazz singer in a school, and I probably worked with two or three different vocalist or vocal teacher, and then in Toronto I also work with Lorraine Lawson. I don't know if you heard about her, but she's one of the main vocal coaches in Toronto.
Cool.
And she's great. She literally can help you out, and she can tell you where you are making mistakes and how to improve yourself. So I definitely had some vocal lessons here and there as well.
Did you study music in school or anything? Did you go to, did you attend like college or university?
I did start university in Italy, but it was mainly for languages, like foreign languages.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Because in high school, my high school program was basically languages.
Yeah.
And foreign literature and all that. So I was taking Spanish, English, and German lessons.
Wow.
But then I kind of dropped university. I wanted to keep doing music, and that's what I did.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. What do you think was the biggest part of those initial vocal lessons and piano lessons? What was the biggest takeaway from those? What do you think was the most important thing that you learned from taking lessons?
It's kind of hard to say, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, throughout the years of, taking lessons and meeting people in the industry, I kind of realized that at the end of the day, it's all about making connections. And like, I don't want to say that I'm a great singer or anything, but I feel like I somehow, probably through starting piano as a kid, I was able to sing well, or to, have my ear trained well or whatever. And, like I said, in Italy, I was kind of experimenting. I was also doing workshops with people that, you know, you find on talent shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I was just feeling like, at the end of the day, it was mainly like network kind of deal, you know. But I can definitely say that when I worked with, you know, Lawson School here in Toronto, with Ray Lawson, it was a different vibe. I'll be honest. She's really into it, and you definitely take a lot away from her lessons.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, how to use your voice, how to use your diaphragm, how to be present in the moment and express yourself in the best way possible, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel as though you were confident from the get-go when it came to your vocal talents, when it came to singing, or did that take a while to develop?
I would say I was somehow confident, you know, because
mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, it happened all naturally. Like I said, I used to play piano concert every end of the year, right? At the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I remember when I was doing those, I was pretty stressed out, and I would make mistakes on the piano and stuff. And, you know, I was a kid still. But then when I started discovering that I could actually sing, I was excited. I was, you know, working with other musicians, putting band together, trying to get the first recordings done, or, you know, first of the songs back then and stuff. And, yeah, it all came kind of naturally, but obviously when you play an instrument or you sing for 10 years, 15 years, like, I could definitely say that it got better and better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. What artists do you look up to vocally?
Like I said, probably Chester Bennington, mm-hmm. even though he's not alive anymore, but
mm-hmm.
I definitely love his voice. And I think he's one of the person in the music industry that communicated the most, you know, through his vocals and lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure there's anyone else, to be honest, that I kind of look up to vocally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's I forgot his name right now, but the singer from Audioslave. Yeah, there's a couple of, you know, rock singers that I definitely look up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel as though there's any artists out there that you kind of wish you had the vocal talents of?
Yeah, I really want to look up this. What is his name? Chris? I forgot his name.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, Chris Cornell.
Yes.
Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I play one of his songs with one of my bands, I almost want to cry because the song is so deep. And I think the song is called Like a Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing when you perform that type of song,
because
you can put all of your soul and everything into it.
Yeah, yeah, he was a powerhouse. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
When did you start creating music?
I do remember I started writing my own songs when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, funny enough, even if I grew up in Italy, some of my first songs were in English. Now, I don't know how good they were,
right.
And how grammatically correct they were, because I was just 15.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those songs never saw the, you know, the light of the day. Like, they never got released or anything. But yeah, I would say at 15 I started writing my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Do you remember any of those early songs and, like, what they were like?
Yeah, I mean, not that they're totally different from when I'm writing nowadays, but they were like there was a song called Don't Go Away, and it was about a girl that basically I used to be in love with, and it wasn't working out. So I remember writing this song and playing it with my best friend back then, coming up with, you know, an arrangement and stuff in my living room. And it's nice to know that I'm still friends with this person. You know, when I go back to Italy, last summer, we ended up playing together a couple of shows. Mm-hmm. And he still remembers the Disciple song that we wrote together at the beginning.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah. Do you remember when you began to look at music as something more than a hobby? When was that transition?
I would say, again, probably 15, 17, it could be, you know, it could sound a little too early to think that way, but I feel like as soon as I discovered that I could actually sing, that actually singing made me feel good,
mm-hmm.
About myself, or, you know, about, it made me feel something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about wanting to do that professionally or in the best way possible in front of people and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. When did you join your first band or perform solo? What came first, and were you ever a part of a band?
Yeah, definitely joining a band came before the solo thing.
Yeah.
I probably had like 3, 4, 5 bands in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of didn't work out because at the end of the day, everyone had their priorities. We were all in high school, and so some of those people ended up, you know, going to college or university somewhere mm-hmm. else and stopping their music, the passion of their music career. And, but I was definitely always in the scene, even back home in Bari. And I tried to make the band thing work a few times. And after that, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to perform by myself and keep going, because I'm you know, the one that writes the songs, and I still want to perform in front of people and release music. So I'm going to still try to do whatever I can to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
I would say that they were all pretty much supportive. Mm-hmm. From my grandparents to parents, who always supported me throughout, you know, this long music journey.
Good.
Obviously, I gotta say, it's a little harder when you live by yourself on the other side of the world.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, I've been in Toronto for almost 6 years, yes, I also have some part of my family here, but at the end of the day, it always feels like I'm living by myself and I'm figuring out my own stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely harder now than it was before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to keep going and you got to keep believing in yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. So you grew up in Italy and you've been in Toronto for 6 years. How would you compare the two music scenes? What's the difference, do you find?
Well, one of the difference that I always notice is that here it's kind of people appreciate you a little more, especially if you're different, right? Because we have Toronto is multicultural, and there's definitely you can find any type of event, any type of people and songwriters and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So. I feel like I'm getting a little more recognized mm-hmm. doing music here, both because when I perform, I do sing in Italian, so as well as English, So I try, always try to bring my background into every performance. And usually people are surprised and they love that. And I don't know, when I was in Italy, probably also because I was younger, I was a little more shy and wouldn't be able to really connect or relate to too much, in the music scene. Mm-hmm. And somehow I was feeling like I could have done more with my life, with my music dreams. So that's why it only made sense for me to move to Toronto and start doing music here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why did you choose Toronto specifically? Why not, New York or LA or, why Canada and why Toronto?
Mainly because I have a family here, right? My mom was born here. I'm Italian-Canadian by birth. And it kind of was easy, it was both easy to come here for me and start a life here in a sense. And also because I grew up traveling to Toronto every 3-4 years, so it's kind of like Toronto was following me anyway, it was in my blood. And
right.
I grew up, coming here, and I at the end of, my high school studies and stuff, I really wanted to move here and give it a try,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was already familiar, so yeah, that makes
kinda
sense.
Yeah.
Who are some talented Toronto artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
There's a lot. I try to go out almost every night, which mm-hmm. sometimes gets crazy. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of artists. There's definitely, for example, we're doing a show this Thursday at Lee's Palace. I got called in last minute because somebody else couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. And there's an artist that I actually wrote my last single with, and her name is Dallas Roden.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely amazing, and I think everyone should check her out. But yeah, there's so many artists. There's a guy named Kubla. He's more like R&B, jazzy kind of style, kind mm-hmm. of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's amazing at what he does. There's one of my friends called Prince, and I believe he's from India, and he also, performs in English and tries to perform in Hindi, I believe, and it's always a nice vibe, a nice surprise when you see him live, because you don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there's a lot of artists in Toronto. I'm surprised sometimes we have so much talent here.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. It's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could collaborate with any artist ever, and you can go big on this one, who would you choose?
Would I choose? Mm-hmm. 21 Pilots, mm-hmm. they always been interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they literally mix a little bit of everything.
But yeah.
If you ever heard their music, they...
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's alternative. Like they have a lot of reggae mixed with hip hop, with rock, and like they somehow make it all work, all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say them. I really like Post Malone as well,
because
mm-hmm. he also comes from a more rock / metal background,
mm-hmm.
Playing in bands like that. And yeah, let's say these two. Yeah. I would say, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And who's a local artist? So someone from Toronto that you'd really love to create a project with?
Let me see. I really enjoyed, again, working with Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I hope we can write again soon.
Yeah.
There's so many. There's actually a band, actually, now that I just came up to my mind. They're called Armenies, and I think they're pretty good. They're like hard rock, and they're also growing as a band in Toronto. And I would definitely love to do a song with them or a project with them. I think we could, you know, work together well.
Fantastic. I hope you do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, for everybody listening, we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Alessandro Montelli. Whistle Song is the artist's latest track about the sting of loneliness and begging your ex to come back.
You make it hard to forget you. No place feels the same without you here. I feel empty. It's getting cold in Toronto. My love is fading out. I wish you well. I hope you'll be back soon. Can we fast forward time? Nobody wake me from this daydream. I'm losing my mind. Faith, but I've been doing God's work. Left you in the hands of another. I hope that you discover every little thing you always said that you were missing.
Anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots On Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Toronto-based alt-pop singer-songwriter Alessandro Montelli. So we just came back from playing Whistle Song, your latest single. How long did that song take to write?
It did take a few months because I did a studio session, a songwriting session with my producer Adam and this other talented Toronto artist called Dallas Rodin, as I was mentioning it before. And I got into the studio and they asked me what I wanted to write about. Obviously, I said, you know, let's write a sad song. And I started with some sad piano chords, minors. And we wrote probably the first, I remember we wrote the first verse and chorus. And then she started humming the chorus, and I started whistling over it, and my producer was surprised, and he was like, "Oh, like your whistling is pretty good. We should do something different, and why not incorporate or just whistle the chorus to be a different vibe? Not many people do that or whatever." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So we recorded that, and then I have a few weeks, if not months, to think about the rest of the song. And I had to, you know, kind of write the other parts of the song, mainly the second verse, by myself, plus a friend that helped me. And, so it took a few months, mainly because sometimes you want to give yourself space and then go back into the song. And, then I recorded the rest and we started playing the release and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. What would you say that single is about? How would you describe the lyrics?
The lyrics definitely came from a spot of insecurity and from a fragile spot as well. I remember I was going through some personal stuff. With someone that I was dating at that time. And when I got into the studio, I kind of started playing what I was feeling at that moment, and me and Dallas managed to put the right word to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you typically record and produce with the same producer?
Yeah, most of the times, yes. I met this guy, Adam, when I moved to Canada. Mm-hmm. And he's also Italian Canadian, so for some reason I could relate to him, and mm-hmm. also the fact that he also grew up with that kind of music.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just started following his journey on Instagram, and I liked what he was doing with other people. And then, you know, I started approaching him and trying to work something out. I did work with other producers as well, experimenting for example, I have a couple of EDM songs that are out on Spotify, and one of these two songs is called Wave.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like it so much that I'm playing it live with the band now.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds more like a rock song or, you know, a band version of it. We think it sounds pretty good, so we're doing it live as well, even though it was born as an EDM song.
Mm-hmm.
With another producer that mm-hmm. actually my cousin at the end of the day. But yeah, I'm usually work with the same producer, but I also try to work with as many creatives as possible. Yeah,
totally. What do you hope your listeners will take away from that song?
It was meant to be kind of a sad Toronto mood song.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to release it last year when we didn't finish the production in time. And I didn't want to, you know, I felt like it made no sense to release it into, you know, during the spring or the summer, because it was a sad song. So I honestly just hope people can relate to it. And as you might know, we all go through ups and downs. So I hope that when people listen to the song, they can somehow relate to it, to the song, and somehow make them feel better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So you've released 9 singles since 2020. Do you feel as though the pandemic has pushed you to create more frequently?
In a sense, yes, because all I was doing was really staying at home.
Yeah.
And thinking and trying to learn stuff and like music-wise, of course, songs and rehearsing and trying to write some more songs, you know. And funny enough, during the pandemic, I met so many more people that I'm even surprised about. And we were getting, you know, getting up on Zoom and doing songwriting sessions. And definitely. As bad as this pandemic was, at the same time, it kind of pushed me in helped me connect with a lot of people that are still in my life now and working together with me on my music project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a favorite single that you've released over the last couple years?
Probably Anything You Need. Mm-hmm. Just because it's the most pop punk type of single.
Yeah.
And again, I wrote it because of another experience, so I really love how that one turned out, to be honest.
Yeah. What single have you found has the best, or had the best reaction upon releasing it?
For the lyrics, probably I would say maybe Life, which is the first single that I released in 2020, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that I wrote that song, a couple of years into moving to Canada, and I was just reflecting about my journey, the fact that I left Italy and all my friends and family to come here and pursue a bigger dream. And I was thinking about all the sacrifices and everything my family did, ever done for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think. A lot of people related to that, and they kind of feel touched by the lyrics, in a sense.
Yeah, totally. Do you have plans for a future full-length project? And if you do, what could that look like? And would we see these singles that you've released since 2020 appear on that project?
I definitely feel like after releasing these singles, I should put together an EP. Because I know that I have a few songs that I haven't released, and some of them I'm just testing them and playing them during the live event.
Sure.
I feel like it should be an EP of 5 to 7 songs. But they should all probably be all brand new, and I also want to, throw a couple of Italian songs, original songs that I have in there.
Oh, cool.
I think it would be cool, because one of them, for example, I produced it actually in Italy when I was there last summer, right? So it would be like an Italian song that I wrote between Italy and Toronto. It's kind of cool. But yeah, definitely eventually I want to release an album and keep releasing music for sure.
Is there a genre that you've always wanted to dip your toes into but haven't yet?
I don't know, because I love punk rock, I love alternative music, and at the end of the day, that's what I've been performing, playing mainly.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to sing jazz, probably reggae. I've had a few people saying that my voice would be, would sound well when you sing reggae.
Cool.
And I have one of my bands that I play with, which is more like a party band, bar band. We do play some reggae stuff, and they're just fun to play. So I definitely, would like to experiment more with reggae music, pop reggae.
If we go back to the first quarantine single that you released, it's called Goodbyes. And can you tell me a little bit about that single, like what it's about, how long it take to write, and all that?
I gotta say, unfortunately, I didn't write that song, because it's actually a cover song of Post Malone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was Yeah, it was basically a part of a cover project that I was doing to hype people up and to get people familiar with my new music. And so, you know, it was part of that type of project. I released a few covers and then I started releasing some of my original music.
I didn't write that song.
It's a pretty good song.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm not too familiar with Post Malone, so that's why I didn't recognize that. But
no worries.
Yeah. I know you also covered Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. Was that a part of that project as well?
Yeah, definitely was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why did you choose the singles that you chose to cover and be a part of that project?
Well, Hallelujah, it's a song that I've been singing for years. And I remember when I was in high school, the music program coordinator showed us a version of that song by Jeff Buckley, I believe, which is actually my favorite version of that song. And so I've been singing that song for a few years, and it just kind of just made sense to do my own version, in a sense, and put it out there for people to enjoy it, to listen to. Then I think I also released Someone You Love by Luis Capaldi. That one, for example, was just a song that was pretty much blowing up at the moment, so I felt related to it when I was kind of singing it last year. But I wanted to make a cover, yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. Your single Life, that's one that we haven't spoken about yet, and I'm actually going to be playing that one a little bit later. Could you tell me a bit about that single and what it's about, how you wrote it, how long it took, all of that?
I remember writing that song at my grandparents' place probably after 1 or 2 years from when I moved to Toronto. And I was thinking about, you know, me moving from Italy and having to abandon, distance myself from my best friend and music circle and parents and family over there. So I was just sitting there at my grandparents' place and playing a guitar, and these lyrics just came up to my mind, and I started writing it. I just wanted to kind of say, you know, thank you to my family, thank you to the people that have been following me for the past 10 years, follow my journey and all that. That's what the song is about, man.
Yeah. So it's a very personal song for you.
Yeah, I would say so.
How do you feel as though your general style has changed since you first started writing music?
It's been going through ups and downs, always in the rock kind of genre. But there was a time where in Italy, before moving here, a lot of indie pop, indie rock artists were getting bigger. So when I went into the studio and produced a couple of my songs back then, we would kind of look at them more in that direction, like an indie rock kind of thing. And but now, you know, like punk rock is coming back. And I mean, there's a lot of artists that I would love to collaborate that I didn't mention. Like Machine Gun Kelly is one of the artists that I really enjoy listening to. Youngblood, Maneskin. If you heard about them, they got pretty big, but they're Italian. Yeah. I'm kind of proud of what they're doing with their music.
Yeah.
And yeah, so now I'm kind of following my roots and getting back into alternative pop punk.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself and your career and your music in 5 years?
Well, I would love to see myself doing some touring and opening for bigger acts.
As
well as having at least a couple albums behind me. As I said, it looks like I'm approaching the fact that next thing I should be doing would be releasing an EP or album. So I will believe that in 5 years, hopefully, I have a couple of those, done. Mm-hmm. And, but I definitely want to play live even more than what I'm doing right now, and which I'm grateful for, because everything is opening up again, and I'm getting some good opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to be in front of people and thankful for people.
Yeah. What are your goals for 2022?
One of my goals was performing at bigger venues.
Mm.
I've been doing a lot of smaller ones in Toronto. And like I said, I got lucky the other day. They kind of last minute, they asked me to replace someone at a show that is happening this Thursday at Lee Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on Bloor Street or something. But downtown Toronto, anyway, it's one of the most historic places in Toronto where you could play. And I can take that off my bucket list. Yes, and it's funny that it's happening, because I've been going to this venue 2 times and always wanted to play there, and now it's kind of happening out of the blue,
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
Good for you.
Exciting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to perform at other venues in Toronto. So
yeah.
For 2022, I'm trying to reach out to other artists coming to, to Toronto for the bigger gigs, and trying to perform and open for them and vice versa,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you do, and good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. What can we look forward to seeing from you?
Definitely more music.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of songs that I haven't released yet, and that I really love, because I think they're, they're energetic, but at the same time, they have a deep meaningful thoughts behind it.
Sure.
I see that some people are getting excited about seeing my shows.
Mm-hmm.
And singing my songs at shows, and that's all feels amazing, to be honest. So I hope that to see all these people in the next shows and keep doing good music.
Yeah, totally. One quick question before we go. Do you have a favorite show that you've played?
You mean music-wise, or like a TV series, or?
Oh yeah, like a show, like a performance that you've done.
I usually say the Young and Dumbest one.
Mm-hmm.
I performed in Young and Dumbest a couple of years ago, and it was a pretty exciting experience, also because there were a lot of strangers in the audience, and when I actually performed live, there was a group of guys that just started jumping and vibing with it, and that got me more excited, and I was, kind of singing to them, and it was nice to see that people were excited about a song that wasn't even, out yet and all that.
Yeah, that must be exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight, Alessandro. This is great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Okay, for everybody listening, you can find Alessandro on all socials as Alice Mont Music, that is A-L-E-S-S Mont Music, and on all streaming services under Alessandro Montelli. And we're going to wrap up this episode with the single Life that Alessandro released in 2021. about reminiscing on the past, being thankful for the loved ones in your life, and dreaming about your future.
Hey guys, this is Alessandro Montelli, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indy 101.5.
Mama, I'm gonna make you proud. Yes, I mean, I'm gonna make you love. Mama, I'm gonna make you wonder. Leave no space for tears no more. Son, don't forget what we've done to send you into space. Son, don't need
CIOI, but our friends call us Indy 1015, live from Hamilton. She looks so sweet.